Hey, it's Adam Schoenfeld. Welcome back to the Built in Seattle podcast. Usually on this show, Seattle's top entrepreneurs, operators, and investors share their stories and their lessons from behind the scenes. It's Thanksgiving this week. So on this episode, I want to take a minute to express my thanks to all the great guests that have come on the show. Thanks for responding to my emails. Thanks for taking an hour to talk with me. Thanks for sharing your story in so much detail and so openly. The show doesn't work without great guests. And it also doesn't work without listeners. So thank you to everyone who's listened. We've had about 10,000 downloads so far. A bunch of you have gone and written a review or given a rating in Apple Podcasts. That kind of digital thumbs up means the world to me, and I'm so grateful for everyone who has supported this project. As you know, I don't usually talk much on this show, so this is very different than the typical model. Usually I try to ask a few good questions and then get out of the way. But in this case, I thought it would be worthwhile on Thanksgiving to go back through the archives and pull out a few of the themes that stood out for me in doing these interviews. But don't worry, you won't just be hearing from me. I'm going to bring in clips and sound bites from 7 different interviews to help highlight these themes, going directly to the source. After going through these 3 themes, I'm going to wrap up by giving you a preview of what's next. I have some great guests lined up for the rest of 2020, and I'm really excited for you to hear those interviews. Just a quick reminder, if you want to follow along via email, go to adaminseattle.com and you can subscribe to my weekly email. I hope you enjoy this different Thanksgiving episode of the Built in Seattle podcast. I'm here with the one, the only. That's my normal shtick, but it's just me here with the mic. I gotta say, I love doing this project. This has been a bright spot for me in the shit show that is 2020. I started doing these interviews before the pandemic, and I got to meet a lot of the guests in person, actually. That was a lot of fun. Obviously, that part changed, but the goal and the purpose of this has not. It's really been the same since the beginning. A lot of people ask me why I'm doing this. I don't have any commercial goals. I don't ever think that this is going to be a way to make money. I basically thought that this just needed to exist. When I look around the community, I see so many great people with great stories, but I don't see a lot of content that really digs into that. We hear a lot of pitches, which is amazing, and we want to hear what the companies are doing, but I really wanted to get behind the scenes on the people, their stories, and their lessons. So that's what I'm aiming to do here. And I hope that these lessons can be something that's timeless and useful for lots of different situations. My goal of doing this comes from my background. I've been a startup founder 3 times, various levels of success and failure, and everything in between. I've spent about 12 years doing this. And one of the things I realized looking back is that I've learned a lot of what I've learned the hard way. That's not to say that I know a ton. It's just that the way I got there was pretty hard. I learned by trying things and then experiencing the result firsthand. And that's been really formative, but it's also been super painful at times. And I think one way that I want to get better going forward is to learn from others. And so this podcast is one way to do that. And I hope that by sharing these lessons, it can be a shortcut or a way for you to do that as well in your career or in your life, however you're applying the stories that you hear here. So let's get into a couple themes. I went back through all the archives. It's been about 30 interviews. They've all been unique and their own story, their own thing. But 3 themes really stood out. The first theme that stood out is about humility. And not just basically saying humility is important or that you shouldn't have a high evaluation of yourself or that you shouldn't have a big ego. I think those things are a little bit obvious. In listening to these interviews, what I heard is how humility shows up in the way that people work and the way that they operate and the mindset that they've created, both with themselves and with their companies. And it shows up in different ways with different people, but I got a lot of good examples in almost every interview of how that looks in practice. The first one that I want to highlight is from Matt McElwain, who talks about how he sees humility feeding this learning loop and how that's a key trait for entrepreneurs that he sees having the most success. Here's a quick clip from Matt in episode 22.
I do think that there can be different personality styles and dispositions on this, but I wrote something a couple of years ago on this concept of the learning loop. And there's some attributes in this that I think are relevant to your question. So I do really do think it starts with curiosity. Somebody who just loves asking questions. And then when they get an answer, drilling down into a next question and a next question. So this big hunger and curiosity, which maybe counterintuitively really takes humility. It takes humility because usually you go in asking those questions thinking you have a point of view on the answer. And if you really hold too tightly to your answer and don't really listen to the potential customer and what you're learning in the market and all, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So it's a curiosity that's grounded in humility that I think really sets the best entrepreneurs up, the highest potential for success.
The way that Matt tied together curiosity with humility and learning really resonated for me. Another guest that talked about this theme was Manny Medina, the founder and CEO at Outreach. A lot of you probably know Outreach as this billion-dollar unicorn that's doing really well, growing fast. But we talked a lot about the first 2 years before they pivoted, when Outreach was a recruiting company and it wasn't going so well. And this gave Manny a really grateful attitude about each and every customer. Here's a quick clip from Manny in episode 1.
First of all, it begins with where we came from, because we were a pivot and we felt lucky every day that we were alive. Mm. And then we felt lucky every day that we had a customer. So we appreciated every customer more than you think. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those, like, you don't understand how lucky we feel the fact that you believe that we can deliver what we said we're going to deliver for you. So we always had this deep appreciation for our customers, for believing in the early products.
So Manny had this humility that was sort of born out of their pivot, and he really brought that to how they obsessed about customers, how they thought about customer success, how they really put customers at the center of their culture. Really powerful idea, and I loved learning that from Manny. The last guest that I wanted to highlight on this theme is Glenn Kelman. He's the CEO at Redfin. He's been at the helm there for about 14 years through an IPO and scaling up the business. You probably have heard a lot about Redfin over the years. And Glenn talked about shame as an actually useful emotion. And he talks about how you have to subject your ideas and your deepest held convictions to challenges within your culture. Here's a quick clip from Glenn in episode 3.
And as you get middle-aged like I am, you also know, you remember all of your failures and you're just kind of crippled by them. You know, you'll be walking across a parking lot just with a happy smile on your face. And then you'll suddenly think about something stupid you said at a party or a product you really believed would work that was a total bomb. And you just stop and you feel like, I can't even walk to the bus. I am so ashamed. And so I think humility is important because Silicon Valley can be a little bit douchey. Tech can be a little bit entitled. And it's important because when you're a CEO, you get surrounded by people who want to give you good news. And just more and more, you hear what you want to hear. And so you have to have a culture of dissent where people can tell you things that are awful to hear. You have to subject your deepest held convictions to the possibility that you are totally wrong. And you just have to remember that no matter how smart people say I am, I still got to hustle for it. And so, you know, what's saying here is that everybody sweeps the floors. It's just another simple way to remind the executives that if you want to take on airs, if you want to be a big shot, go work somewhere else. Because I can't ask somebody else to work hard if I'm not willing to work hard. I can't ask somebody else to do some crappy job unless I do that myself. And I think that that has allowed us to grow and still have, you know, a good, I hope, a good culture.
I love Glenn's story and I love how he highlights this theme. Obviously, all of these people that are having great success in startups and in business, they're doing hard things. So they have some chutzpah, they have the willingness to go try and do hard things. Bill Walsh, in his great book, talks about the difference between ego and egotism. He wants people that have a little bit of swagger on the football field, but he doesn't want egotism. And I think the Charlie Munger idea of being willing to destroy your own ideas plays beautifully into this theme as well, because all of these great leaders are setting up the environment and the mindset that's going to let them challenge their ideas and challenge their beliefs, as Glenn talked about. And that's been key in letting them grow personally and letting their companies grow to the heights that they have. The second thing that stood out and surprised me a little bit was the unique mix that I found with most of these people in analytical rigor mixed with intuition. I think just about everybody has a set of frameworks or a spreadsheet or a process that they have thought a lot about, whether that's for coming up with ideas, setting the company values, leading a team. They all have some kind of highly structured thought process going on, and that drives how they make decisions and how they take action. But on the other side of the equation, they also have this kind of intuition or fluidity in how they decide and act that was really important. One person that really hit this home for me was Leslie Feinzeig. She's the CEO at Female Founders Alliance. They have a great mission there, something that's fantastic for our community. And we talked a lot about building her business and how she found product market fit. And it really followed this intuitive and iterative process. Here's Leslie talking about that in episode 18.
So I guess this is called emergent strategy because I sure as hell have been pivoting my way through this entire thing. And when I think about what FFA brings for people, I kind of felt in those very early days like I had stepped on something that wanted to be really big, with or without me. I've had experiences all the way from founding a company by myself with $0 right from this basement and going from like zero customers to one customer to 20 customers to 100 customers, all the way to being part of a $2 billion launch at Microsoft when we did Bing, and literally every stage in between. Never in my whole life have I felt signal like I did with the Female Founders Alliance. It just wanted to be. And I was like, okay, what do you want to be? Like, hey, FFA, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I loved learning from Leslie and hearing how she could feel product market fit. She could kind of feel when things locked into gear. And then the questions she started to ask from there to find her way to the next level. Another guest that hit on this theme was Matt Oppenheimer. He's the CEO and co-founder at Remitly. Remitly is now a unicorn. They're worth over $1 billion, been on an absolute tear in the last several years. And Matt had a very analytical, rigorous approach to validating and understanding his market, but he talks about how he couldn't calculate all the angles. Here's a quick clip from Matt in episode 11.
But here's the deal. I had no idea about anything remittance related when I started the business. I think that had I known all the complexity that is required to build a money transmitter, I don't know if I would, like, it's not a rational decision to start a money transmission business. It is so incredibly complex. And when you outline all of the things that could go wrong or all the things you have to solve, it would not be a rational decision to start a money transmission business. So I didn't, I just jumped in and started doing stuff and figuring out how to like block and tackle and plow through walls. And we eventually were lucky enough to plow through them, but it took some, like, I don't know, willful ignorance is the right term, but it took jumping in and just doing it as opposed to looking at all the risks and weighing the decision.
They don't overcalculate. They don't try to play all the angles. They don't try to game it out to infinity. I think it's a hard balance to strike because it seems like a paradox. But most of these people had this incredible mix of those two things. And that really stood out to me in the conversations. The last theme I wanted to talk about today is just the simple fact and realization that all of these success stories took a very long time. It's clear that all of these great leaders move with conviction when they see an opportunity, when they see a fat pitch, as Charlie Munger calls it, they move toward it and they have some urgency, they go hard, but they're also incredibly patient. And I think most of them had a realization that it takes a long time. Most of the cases that you see somebody that looks like an overnight success, it's 10 years plus. And many of these people, even if they have a great success running one business or being a leader in a business for a decade, they had multiple decades before that of learning and failures and ups and downs that led them to the one that was successful. I really liked the way that Kelly Breslin Wright, who was EVP of sales at Tableau from zero to 850 million in revenue, talked about this. And she has this great long-term mindset, but she also had a way of balancing that with the focus on daily progress. Here's a quick clip from Kelly Breslin Wright in episode 24.
So it's good directionally to know where you're headed, to have alignment so everyone's agreed with where you're going, but then businesses are built one day at a time, step by step, block by block. And so then you need to always be focusing every day, what can I do today, right now, to move the needle on my business? What can I do today to help other of my coworkers and my employees be more successful? What can I do today, right now, to help my customers of today to be successful? And it's a balance. And I think the companies that focus too much on just the North Star are going to struggle, because there's a long way between here and there. Most companies never get there.
That was just one of many things I learned from talking to Kelly in episode 24. And related to this long-term mindset, I also love the way Liz Pierce talked about not getting caught up in the mental loop of comparing yourself to others, which seems to be a key ingredient to keeping that long-term focus, to keeping that infinite mindset. Here's a quick clip from Liz Pierce. She was my guest in episode 16.
It would be really easy to get caught up in this mental loop of comparing how you're doing, what you're doing, and what you're achieving to everyone else around you. And it doesn't work. Like, you can never win that game. And I think the way out of that is to just turn your focus inward and focus on, how do you improve? How do you have your own personal best, or the company's personal best? How do you keep moving that needle forward in terms of what you've accomplished and what your impact is, and how the business is progressing, or how you as an individual are progressing?
I had a lot of fun going back through the archives and sharing a few of the themes that have stood out for me. I want to take a minute now to wrap up and tell you what's coming next on the show. I'm really excited about the guests I have lined up for the rest of the year. We're going to hear from a founder and leader at another one of Seattle's unicorns. That's Grant Goodale from Convoy. Convoy's on a tear. You've probably seen them in the news a bunch. They are really reinventing the whole trucking industry. And Grant breaks down his journey in a lot of detail, shares a lot of his process for learning from others. Then I'm going to have one of the great CMOs in our town, Elisa Fink, who was CMO at Tableau and has also advised many CMOs. And we don't have a ton of great marketing leaders here, so I'm really excited to share the conversation with Elisa. Then I have Peter Hamilton coming on the show, who recently had two acquisitions out of his run at Tune, where he built the business to over $75 million in ARR and famously served lunch every day in gourmet fashion. I'm really excited to share those through the rest of the year, and then I'll keep going in 2021 with a lot more to come. I never made a trailer for the show, so this is the closest that you're going to get to an actual trailer. Once again, thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I know it's a weird year for Thanksgiving, but hopefully you get to find something positive out of it. If you want to subscribe over email, I send out a weekly email. Go to adaminseattle.com, where I share some questions, lessons, or ideas that I'm learning from others, as well as updates on this podcast. And if you like the show, I would love to have you leave a rating or a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks again, and happy Thanksgiving to you all.